We too desire to greet you in the precious name of Jesus. And how would it be if Jesus' name wouldn't be mentioned in our services? We wouldn't have anything to offer, or our being here wouldn't be of no value. But it is my desire to exalt him, because he, as Nicodemus said, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. And that blesses me, that God was merciful enough to send us a teacher that would enable us to know the will of God, so that when the time comes to make that crossing over to the other side, that we can be assured of a place that we can be blessed in all eternity. So we greet you in Jesus' name, and also for my brethren and sisters at home. Recently, it struck me as I was reading in Matthew. I was reading in Matthew in my devotions, and what impressed me was how Jesus taught so, we might say, with such zeal and carefulness and compassion. And it just seems that when Jesus was teaching the people, that he just put his whole heart into it, and I know he did. And how carefully he explained the precious truths from God. And it was his desire that the people would understand his will. There are many, and that got my mind to thinking about teaching, and also how should teachers be that teach, and what is the goal of teaching? The word taught, teach, teachers, is numerous times in the Bible. And many times we find that Jesus taught in the synagogues. He taught on the mountain. He taught by the seaside. Sometimes he sat when he taught. Sometimes he stood when he taught. Various postures. And he taught by night. He taught by day. And Nicodemus acknowledged when he came to Jesus by night, he said, Master, we know, or Rabbi, he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. In Luke chapter 20, verse 21, some people came to Jesus, and they said this way, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. So Jesus, when he came and started preaching and teaching the word of God, people understood that they came to the understanding that he came from God. And he taught the way of God rightly. He taught the truth. And there's one other thing that they acknowledged, that he taught with authority. As one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, we as God's servants are called to preach and teach the gospel. Do we remember what we promised when the vows, or when the calling was said by the bishop when we were ordained? The responsibility and the accountability that was given to us as God's servants or ministers or bishops. And school teachers, you have been given a responsibility and you have authority to teach. Parents, you are instructed to teach, to instruct, and to nurture your children and to bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And I went through the scriptures and looked at different verses about teaching, and I looked in the encyclopedia. What does encyclopedia say about teaching? Well, it gave many things, but one thing it said that was interesting, an older encyclopedia, it said that Jesus Christ was the greatest teacher of all time, and he taught a new way of living. That was in the encyclopedia. So it is my desire to, and I do not claim at all. It was only about a week ago that I thought about teaching, and I wondered, is this something that we have neglected over the years in our preaching to really bring out the implications and the responsibilities and all that pertains to teaching the Word of God? I feel that I have neglected that part of it, to bring out the things that are so important, to convey the truth that it can be taught in a manner that it's received, and also in a way that it can bear fruit. Because after all, what is the purpose of teaching? And what are we trying to teach? And what we are trying to teach, is that what the students will learn? Like Nicodemus said, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. And I just wondered, well, here, what about, I am a minister of the Mennonite Church. What am I teaching, and what is the result of my teaching and preaching? I wrote some things down here that I looked up the word teach in the dictionary. Well, it's some very simple definitions: to instruct or cause to learn. Well, I think we understand that. But now it gave a definition that struck me, and this is what it said: to accustom to. Do we understand what that is saying? To accustom to. I have noticed over the years that depending who preaches, he preaches kind of like the bishop of that church. So somehow the minister that is under the administration of the bishop, he tends to become accustomed to the one in charge and starts teaching and preaching like the one that's over him. I've noticed that. And think about this. When the disciples in Acts were questioned about, they were preaching in the name of Jesus, the people took note that they had been with Jesus, so they were becoming accustomed to Jesus. And isn't that what we want for us and those that are under our charge? Are we putting our whole heart into our responsibility in teaching? The other evening we went through Elmer's house, and the sister-in-law was saying, taking us through the different rooms, and And then she said, now this room belongs to, she's a teacher, and it's still in a jumble, but she's really putting her whole heart into teaching. And I caught that. I remember what was preached here many years ago by, I believe it was Raymond Kaufman, when he was ordained. He said he knew that now his cows need to go down the road. His personal things were becoming subservient to his calling. And how is it with us? Okay, some more definitions of teaching. To admonish, to suggest or put into one's mind, to signify and give notice, to counsel and direct. And then as my mind went on, I thought, well, what are the qualifications of a teacher? How should we be as teachers? And I just wrote some different things down. For teaching to be effective, we need an understanding of authority. Well, who ordained us or who called us? An understanding of authority. Jesus, when he came, numerous times he spoke about doing his Father's will. Can we acknowledge or sense the of being under authority? And it should move us to be faithful to the one that has called us. To understand that we are teaching under God. He's the one that gave us the responsibility through the church. And if we aren't faithful, we are accountable to God. Whether we're parents, whether we're school teachers, or whatever our responsibility is. And you don't have to necessarily have a calling to teach. As such, we are, as individuals, we are teaching each other things by our actions, or by the things we say. Okay, point number two, and not necessarily in order, but point number two. We must know the truth and be intimately bound or engrafted to the source. Well, school teachers, what are you teaching? Well, you're teaching facts that have been established. How would it be if you would start teaching that 2 + 2 = 3, 2 + 2 = 5? That doesn't work out. And it's the same way with us as ministers. If we teach something that is not grounded in the Word, and there are many things that are being taught today that do not ultimately lead to the truth, or we might say partial truths that will lead people in the wrong direction. And even though we may feel our idea or what we can perceive as truth may be found in a certain verse, but if you take all the verses in the Bible together, we find it doesn't lead in the right direction. So we must know the truth and be intimately bound or engrafted to the source of truth, which is Jesus Christ. Another must be, we must behave like an educated person. And that's something that's convicting. Do I behave like an educated person, or what I'm trying to teach? I remember a story many years ago of a minister he was very eloquent and able to preach. But then afterward, the way he acted and the jokes that he said, he didn't behave like a teacher, so his message was not effective because he didn't behave like an educated person. Or the education that he was trying to teach, he wasn't able to, the people didn't receive it. Another must be to be effective. You must love your student. Get down on his level. Understand where he's coming from. Have compassion. Some time ago, we visited school, and the teacher came over and knelt down right beside the student and was helping the student, got down on his level. And there's so much involved in this point, a love for the student and to be able to make a connection that there's confidence that this teacher really wants what's best for me. And I want to learn from my teacher because he or she loves me. And for that relationship to be established, you have to maybe do some things that it takes patience, perseverance. Well, we'll get to that a little later. A love for the student. And another must be, there must be patience, humility, and perseverance. And I marvel at how Jesus, in his method of teaching, if it seemed like that he came up against, he tried a different angle. For an example, the woman at the well, when Jesus talked to her about living water, she finally said, well, give me this water so that I don't have to come back to this well to draw or not be thirsty anymore and come back to this well to draw. Well, Jesus understood that the living water will not make her so that she's not thirsty for a drink of water like this right here. So he said then, call thy husband and come hither. She said, well, I don't have a husband. And then Jesus told her some things that about her life that she concluded, well, she said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And then she said, well, when Messiah cometh, then he will tell us all things. And yes, he did. And then Jesus said, I am he. Well, then the disciples came and marveled that Jesus was talking to this woman. I just imagine suddenly the disciples came and the conversation stopped. She felt uncomfortable being right there. And she went back to the city and said to the men, come to this, how was it? Come and there's a man that told me all things that ever I did. So the men went out to Jesus there, and he even stayed a couple days that he stayed there and taught the people? It takes patience, humility, and perseverance. And sometimes it seems that the point is just not getting across. And we need sometimes to come at it from different angles and maybe sometimes just leave it for the moment. Jesus used many different methods in his teaching. Interesting parables. He gave parables where the truth wasn't so obvious. It was somewhat veiled. And a parable served to seal the spiritual blindness of the people, those that were not disposed to believe. But those that were disposed to believe, it served to how could we say? It created a wholesome curiosity on the part of those that were listening to this parable. For an example, Jesus gave a parable in Luke, not in Luke, in Matthew 13. We know that parable of the sower. Some seed fell by the wayside, some seed fell on stony ground, and some seed fell on among the thorns, but some seed fell into good ground, the Bible said, he said. And then he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So, and then he left it. But Jesus went on and told his disciples then a little later that he talks to the people in parables so that those that are not disposed to believe, it will seal their, well, I'll just read. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And Jesus went on and explained the parable. Let's go on here now for teaching to be effective. Okay, number 6, a complete comprehension of the subject. Do we have a complete comprehension of the subject? For an example, when Jesus taught Nicodemus that ye must be born again, he had questions about it. And some more, he had two questions. He said, how can a man be born again when he is old? And the second question, can he enter again into his mother's womb? And then Jesus explained some things. And finally, Nicodemus said, how can this be? And then Jesus said, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? Now, Jesus didn't say that to condemn him at all. But sometimes we need that. Are you a bishop in the Mennonite church and you don't know these things? You don't have complete comprehension of what you're trying to teach? And I admit, I don't. And I feel sometimes that I'm learning right with my people. And I believe many teachers feel that way too sometimes. It's hard for us to have a complete comprehension of the subject. And I have seen teachers spending long hours after school is out, long hours at the schoolhouse, trying to grasp the subject and to know how to effectively teach their children the things that are important. And how many ministers have hours and hours in studying to understand what Jesus is trying to say, and how can we teach this important subject so that it's received and where the seed can fall into good ground and grow and bring forth fruit. Another must be, communicate truth on the student's level. Well, we may have touched on that already. And then there's another thing about teaching that's so important. There must be tests to see whether the student learns it and understands it. There must be tests. There must be discipline. And there must be examinations. Because if the students aren't getting it, they may have head knowledge of it, but if they aren't able to take that, what is taught, and produce fruit with it, what good does it do? I said discipline. It takes me back to my in Sturtstraff when I was in the first grade. And this is no reflection on my parents for not teaching me to keep my mouth shut. But my first grade teacher said, when she wanted everybody to be quiet, she said, now pull your zippers shut. And everybody was supposed to be quiet. And then she started teaching what she did. She said, now pull your zippers shut. And just that quick, I said, I have no zipper. And I can still see her just going like this and slap me right on my mouth. I can still see her just like it was yesterday. that was the last time I did that. So for truth to be effective, or for teaching to be effective, there must be discipline sometimes, because just like I, just that quick, it popped in my mind and I said, I have no zipper. And I can still see her. She wasn't too far away. She just came and slapped me on my mouth. I needed that. And there was another time I got a whipping in school for giving sympathy to a boy that misbehaved. And I never forgot that. And I remember years ago when we were having church issues, we got a letter and we finally came to the place, my wife and I, where we gave up. We were resisting authority. We were not out of our place. And we came to the place where we gave up and we are going to support and behave ourselves. And then we got a letter that was just dripping with sympathy from somebody. And it was so repulsive to me, because I didn't want to go that direction. I was yielded, and I felt the blessed, the peaceable fruit of repentance. And I didn't want to go back into that cycle of resistance and rebellion, and finally, what would you do if a brother comes to you and says, to you as a bishop, and says, if you don't do this, I'm going to move? And I've heard that expression a couple times over the years. If you don't change this thing, I'm going to move. And I just have to ask myself the question, where have I failed? Okay, now, going to the next thing that I believe is for teaching to be effective, is that you must have the right environment. I remember many years ago, there's almost a complete different, not quite, Pop is still here, but these benches were filled with our fathers. And it touches me to know that Jonas's dad was here. Now he's called to preach. Brother Henry's parents were here and he's called to preach. Pop and Mom were here and now we are called to preach. And many others. Jake Yoder was here as a minister, and his son Melvin is a faithful deacon in our church. I so appreciate him. But that's a little bit off the subject now, but the right environment. I remember sitting back here, and then the janitor would come along and open the windows, and many people would look at this, and the minister is up here preaching. And that was necessary to have the right environment in here, but it was still something that was distracting. Or if a wasp would start flying around in here, and it distracts us. And now that takes me to Jesus' parable of the sower, when the seed is being sowed, but there are thorns, there are stony places, there is wayside, and is the environment conducive to learning? And what can produce a bad environment where the truth is not taught effectively, or cannot be taught effectively? Now, we know that in school sometimes things happen that all of a sudden the teacher may be speaking, she may be teaching, and suddenly someone may fall out of his chair accidentally, a young student. That has happened, or numerous things can happen, but you know, we expect some of those things. We expect that sometimes children cry in church, and I don't feel that the parent has to take the student out right away just because it cries, but it may soon stop. But if it doesn't stop, then of course the parent would take the child out so not to create a disturbance. But in the council room, one of the ministers spoke about an explosion of things that are coming on in the world And we are seeing that. An explosion of things in the world that can distract and take away the seed that Jesus intends to go into the good ground, and here it's among the stones or among the thorns and by the wayside. So what is the environment? What are good conditions for learning? That is a responsibility of the teachers, the parents, the ministers, and even we need to take personal responsibility. We sing a song sometimes, "I love to steal a while away from every cumbering care and spend the hours of setting day in humble, grateful prayer. I love in solitude to shed the penitential tear." And as we know, the song goes on. How often do we put away all the distractions, everything that can bombard us, and just spend time alone with God and learn the precious truths from the master teacher and be greatly blessed and edified? There must be a good environment, the right environment. Now, I remember in my school years that different teachers had different ways of teaching, different gifts and so on, but it always made me uncomfortable when a teacher didn't keep good order in the classroom. It reflected right back to the way I was brought up. When there wasn't good order, when there wasn't good discipline, it just affected my learning. I just couldn't help it. Why did, and I thought this morning of some verses in Proverbs. In the fourth chapter, it says, "Take fast hold of instruction," in verse 13. "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked." Why not? It says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Why not? "And go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away." We cannot blame our teachers if we knowingly go into areas that is not where the environment can affect us to undo what we know is right and what can affect us for bad. The environment is so important. I thought of Abraham, and I'm not sure why he said, "Beware that thou take not my son thither again." I'm not sure what he meant by that, but I do know that God called Abraham, and Abraham understood God's call when he left his fatherland, Ur of the Chaldees, and went to a land that God wanted to show him. And later, when Abraham sent his servant to take a wife from his relation back in his former country, the servant asked, I'm not sure exactly how it was, but Abraham said, "Beware that thou bring not my son thither again." And whether it was that he understood God's call was for his son and his posterity to be there in this land, or whether he did not want his son to be influenced by the environment where he came out of, I'm not sure. But I do know that unless we raise our families, our children, and have the right environment, a godly environment, a holy environment, what can we expect? But all our teaching will be in vain if I neglect to produce a right environment for good learning and where the truth can be put into the good soil and bear forth fruit that can bless God in his kingdom. Now, we sang the other morning when we were at the table, Pop sang, follow the path of Jesus, walk where his footsteps lead, keep in his beaming presence and every counsel heed. Watch while the days are flying, ready some good to do. Quick while his voice is calling, yield obedience true. Then it says, cling to the hand of Jesus all through the day and night. For some reason, it's out how the rest of it goes. And then it says, take up the cross of Jesus. That verse so aptly describes, and I thought of what Jesus told his disciples right at the beginning when he chose them. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, here Jesus did not explain what he meant by that. But isn't that so important? How can we become accustomed to the master teacher that came from God without following him? We can't. The call is to follow him. And I will make you fishers of men. Now, the disciples were fishermen, so he was able to suggest, put something in their mind that they didn't understand what he meant, I don't believe. And I'm not sure that I understand everything about what he was saying. And it was not that they were supposed to start taking a hook and catching men with it. It wasn't that at all. But it was somehow catching men to teach them and to convey them the precious truths of the gospel, the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and where that can be taught to them, and where they can walk in that new and living way. Now, back in the Old Testament, there are several different places, and I'll just read one in Isaiah, the second chapter. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And here's an example of the method of teaching and the method of speaking that was so prevalent in the Jewish and the Hebrew language. They use metaphors. They took literal things to convey spiritual truths. And here it speaks of beating swords into plowshares. Well, that's not literally what they were doing. But spiritually, what was happening is people that were formerly getting angry and fighting and speaking evil of their neighbor, now they were blessing them and they were becoming non-resistant. And also, instead of spearing each other with spears, it was now a pruning hook and giving admonition and rebuke in love. And isn't that an effective way of conveying the spirit and the mind of Christ? What a blessing. And now, here it is saying that many people, and another place it says many nations, shall come to Jerusalem to be taught. And when Jesus, before he left, He said this way, go ye therefore. Now, wait a minute. He said first, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And Jesus in his prayer in John 17 said that thou hast given him, which is Jesus, power over all flesh. And the time came that the power of God was upon all the nations, and they came to Jerusalem. And there in Acts, when the church started, Peter preached to every nation under heaven. And it was the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus that brought all these people together to Jerusalem to be taught. And Jesus said before he left, now you go teach them. And now teaching, if you look up the words in that portion of scripture in Matthew 28, it gives the Hebrew meanings would be to, for the students to be enrolled or would come to be taught. Now you can't teach somebody that doesn't want to be taught. But what Jesus was saying to his disciples, that they should take responsibility to teach these people that come the ways of God. And in Micah, we read that those verses. And also in Zechariah, it says that 10 men from all nations would come and grab hold of the skirt of a Jew and say, we want to go with you because we heard that God is with you. So what do you do with these people that desire to be taught? Jesus is saying, teach them. Teach them his word. And you know what will happen? There's a verse that says this way. I'd like to turn. Well, it's in Isaiah here. Here it is. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways. And now what does it say? And we will walk in his paths. And isn't that what we want? As ministers, as teachers, as parents, that those that are under our charge would walk in the ways of God. And what can we do? We must be intimately bound to the source of truth. And all these things, the qualifications that I said, there's more. And by no means is this subject exhausted. But think about it. Let's think about, what does it take for teaching to be effective? What does it take for us that we first of all can be a teacher that can relate to our students? Last evening, there were some children there, by Pops there, and I don't know the children very well, but I know them better now because I went over and asked them, do y'all have goats? Well, yes, they have goats. And they started talking about goats. And then I said, I'd like to go see them. And immediately they ran to the barn. They were way ahead of me. They ran to the barn. They were so eager to tell me about the goats. And what if I would have just, I'm not going to go way down there. And here they were already running way ahead. They can hardly wait to tell me about the goats. And so I went down there and I learned about the goats that will soon have little ones. I learned about the how they jump on the trees to eat the leaves. And I learned about how in the barn there of the rats that are there and many different things that I learned about the kittens. And, you know, they probably won't ever forget that I took time for them. And isn't that so important that we, as I study Jesus' life and all the different circumstances, even the, and I see it's time to close, that Jesus sat at meat one evening, I suppose it was, and many publicans and sinners came to hear him. And the Pharisees were critical about it. But here Jesus had compassion for these people. He taught in a way that just drew them to hear him, what he had to say. And the Pharisees were critical about it and told the disciples that your master eateth with the publicans and sinners. Well, was the environment right? Well, how will be the environment of people, sinners and publicans that come to Jesus to hear him and want to learn from him? That's, oh, if if everybody in the whole world would come to that place. And Jesus understood what they were saying, the Pharisees were saying to the disciples, and Jesus said a statement that he used twice in Matthew, that I'll turn to it. Matthew chapter 9. He wanted the people to understood when Jesus heard that in verse 12 of chapter 9 in Matthew, he said this way, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice." He wanted the people to understand what that means. And if you go back in the Old Testament, you find it in Hosea 6:6, that the Lord desired mercy and not sacrifice. And then later, when the issue was about the Sabbath day keeping, the Pharisees were critical over the disciples because they were breaking off the corn and eating it on the Sabbath day. And they criticized Jesus for doing that, for them doing that. And Jesus said, "Have ye not read? Or don't you understand what the scriptures said when David went into the temple and ate the showbread?" And he said also about the priests profaning the Sabbath. Because depending on the situation, if the ox falls in the well on the Sabbath day, why, no one will blame you for pulling it out. But there again, then Jesus again repeated that I will, that he wanted them to know what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. He said, otherwise you would not have condemned the guiltless. And are we sometimes condemning someone for an action that we don't understand about? Let's be careful with Jesus' teaching. I mean, let's learn from him. As was quoted this morning, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's kneel for prayer.